Welcome to GhanaWord.com, Ghana's online preaching station. We believe the following message will be a blessing to your life. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. God bless you.
Welcome to MegaWay, a life-changing encounter with the Word of God from Bishop Dagwood Mills. Dagwood Mills, a medical doctor by profession, is the founder and bishop of the Lighthouse Chapel International. He pastors the Lighthouse Cathedral, a thriving church with several thousand members in Accra, Ghana, and a network of over 400 churches worldwide, operating in more than 30 countries in Africa, Europe, North America, South America, and Australia. Bishop Dagwood Mills, who has a rare teaching gift, has traveled extensively and ministers powerfully under the anointing. With more than 20 years' experience in the ministry, the impact of this ministry is felt increasingly through the radio, the internet, TV outreaches, teaching tapes, and over 70 best-selling books. Join us now for a life-changing experience on MegaWay with Bishop Dagwood Mills.
Receiving you today. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this evening. And thank you for the blessing of coming to your presence once again. Lord, we are asking that you guide us and that you lead us into all truth. Let your will be done, Father. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This evening, my subject is In the Presence of Devils. And the subtitle is Devils in the Disciples. Devils in the Disciples. Devils in the Disciples. Now, one of the key aspects of warfare, right, is to attack not only the main target, but targets that are linked to the target. Alright? So, in every war, you attack not just the chief architect or the chief criminal, but you attack the enemy's friends, the enemy's alliances, the enemy's sources of strength, the enemy's friendships, the enemy's relatives. I particularly remember when during the war in Liberia, the Civil War, their electricity supply was put out. And I remember a particular sister who is one of our pastor's wives who used to live in Liberia. I remember her telling me how one day the lights went out and it never came back. And that was the beginning of the end, or the beginning of the war coming to them in a certain way, until they were all turned into refugees when she and other friends had to flee to Ghana. So the war was fought by fighting the electricity supply. And I remember, and by bombing the electricity supply, but not by bombing, was it Sergeant Doe? Oh, yeah, who was the president? Because you couldn't get to him. But you can get to his source of electricity. Alright? So, I remember meeting one of our brothers in our church in one country who used to run a business in Liberia, and he told me about 10 years after the war had ended that the lights were still not back on in Liberia. So attacking the friend or the source of strength of the your enemy can be a very devastating blow in warfare. So every good general knows and picks his targets very well. You pick the friends, the alliances, the precious things, the important things of your enemy, and then you attack them. Because often, the final target, the principal target, is very well guarded. When America was attacking Iraq, right, I mean, to kill or capture Saddam Hussein was, you know, a very difficult task. And in fact, when he was finally captured, it was headline news. And when he was executed, it was also headline news. Because it's difficult to get your principal target. Now, somebody like Osama bin Laden is not known whether he's alive or dead up till today. He still sends messages, whether it is he himself or his ghost that is sending messages. No one really knows. Because the real enemy is difficult many times to pinpoint. Are you listening to me? And this is a strategy of war which the devil knows. Bible tells us that thou mightest by them war a good warfare. You know, the prophecies that have gone over you. So, we are supposed to fight war in a good way, in the right way. Strategic warfare. Are you listening to me? And similarly, you are supposed to be a good soldier and fight a good warfare. All right? So the devil, knowing this, has also targeted the target disciples. All right? And so in every ministry, all right, some of the principal targets are not the target himself. Sometimes not the leader or the founder or sometimes the main pastor, but somebody or something precious to the main target. Because that is sometimes as good as getting the main target himself. How many understand what I'm talking about? I've almost finished preaching, so in case you want to go to bed, you're going to go to bed soon, all right? Now, John chapter 13, verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, and the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. And Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. Amen. Are you there? And after that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with a towel wherewith he was girded. Amen. Are you there? Now notice verse 2. And supper being ended, and the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. So as you can see here, one of the things that the devil did was to put or to attack one of the disciples of Christ. Because at another point, Jesus said, the enemy is coming, but he has nothing in me. Amen. The devil, wanting to attack this ministry, will cleverly attack the disciples of the ministry. Amen. And he does that all the time. All right. To all disciples, and a disciple means a learner. The word believer is used twice. Believers. The word Christian is used 3 times. And the word disciple is used 269 times. So we are more supposed to be disciples. And a disciple is a learner. It means somebody who is learning. Are you listening to me? So the enemy, like in the story of the prodigal son, you know, wanting to attack the family of this wealthy and successful businessman who had these children, right, successfully attacked one of the sons and put in his heart devil minds and devil thoughts, all right, and destroyed the family of the boy's prodigal son's father. You get it? And created a family crisis. Right? Are you listening to me? Yes. Because, you know, you ask yourself, why do you want to leave? Where are you going? What's going to happen to you? You have everything here. You get it? But they want to go. And it is what I call wasteful spirit. You know, the word prodigal is not as a word that we use now. But in our normal English parlance, we use other words. So the prodigal son, or the word prodigal, basically reminds us of the story in the Bible. But really, it just means someone who is wasteful. He wastes things. Right. So the boy wasted the chances that he had. Amen. And so one of the main things that the enemy does is to make you and I waste the opportunities that we have. Amen. So now I want us to examine what are the devils and what are the devils saying to the disciples. Amen. What types of devils speak to the disciples? Like, look at Judas. He had everything. I remember one pastor in our church who rebelled, and his wife was crying at a meeting and told her husband, "You had everything. You had everything. Why did you waste this chance?" Do you understand? And she was not happy with her husband's behavior. All right. Then she was crying and she told her husband, "You had everything." Now think about Judas. He was on his way to heaven. He has met God. He has met the Son of God. He has seen the dead raised. I mean, things we didn't see. He's seen the inside of God's word, and he was well positioned to be for eternity. I mean, have his name written on the gates of hell, and to be greeted by the hosts of billions of people who are going to be in heaven forever as one of the 12 disciples. I mean, you had everything, but he wasted it and rather went down into the dungeons of damnation. So you must ask yourself, what kind of speaking was spoken to the mind of Judas Iscariot to make him become what he did? And there are 7 devils that I am sharing with you about today. Number one, the spirit of Belial. Belial comes from a Hebrew word which means useless, worthless, good for nothing. Satan's intention is to make you useless. Now, there are many people that have been appointed as pastors in the church, and Satan wants them to be useless and worth not even pastoring 10 people. You understand? And so he makes them waste the opportunity that they have to receive. What people who have huge churches and who have independent ministries and millions of CDs or dollars of income are receiving books and learning and listening to tapes and longing for opportunities to be around. The devil of make you nothing, the devil of worthlessness, is making them turn their minds and their hearts away from the stream from which the river is flowing. Like this boy, his mind was set on outside. I must go. And the Bible says his father gave him what he wanted. And not many days hence, he took his journey into a far country. Because his mind and his heart was outside. And there are people that are inside, but their hearts and their minds are outside. So brothers and sisters, it's a very good son who looks inside and sees that I have something inside my house. You know, when you are a child, you always want to go out to your friend's house. Is that not so? Your friend's house is always better than your house. Is it not true? That is how little children are. But the more mature you become, the more you recognize how great your own house is. And so it's important for you to recognize how great your house is and not to become a rebel of your own house. You know, I was watching a documentary about Princess Diana. And they were talking about Princess Diana and the Queen of England. And when the princess spoke to the press and told them about the royal family, and spoke to them and told them things about the royal family, about the king, the queen, and so on. You know, in that documentary, they said for 400 years, there has not been somebody to betray the royal family in that way. They have never had and seen somebody like that to come into their family from being a nursery school teacher, and you were brought in to be the princess, and turn against the institution and the family which you have been welcomed into. They said they have not had such an act of betrayal. And when the queen wrote to her and said, divorce my son now and go, you know, and then the whole thing went further. She was inviting journalists secretly and giving interviews and telling them all kinds of things, until she finally divorced. And when she was divorced, then the queen and so on withdrew her protection with Scotland Yard and other privileges and perks that she had as a princess, you know. And the story goes on, and you know how it all ended. You know, as she was wearing her swimming suit, this panty, whatever, and so on, with an Egyptian boyfriend from Africa. I mean, they were taking pictures of her. I mean, the mother of the future king of England. I mean, these were things that were like in the face of the family which you came out from. Are you listening to me? So, I'm just trying to say that, you know, there are different sides you can look at it from, but when you look at it from the family side that you came into, it's quite an experience to have somebody like that in the house. Are you listening to me? So when you come, when I say, are you listening, you say, we are listening to you. Are you listening to me? Yes. It's quite an experience to have somebody who doesn't appreciate the greatness of the house coming into the house. Yeah, when you have somebody who doesn't appreciate the greatness, you know, I'm not saying that it's everything, but at least there's a certain appreciation of where you are and how great where you are is. And that, I mean, it's not so bad, but this boy, he didn't appreciate what he had and where he was and how great the home he was from was. And his mind and his heart was set on out there, something else, you know, and despising where he came from. And that is the spirit of Beli Yahal, to make you into nothing. And when her protection and other things were removed, you know, then things turn into another thing altogether. All right? Now, the second spirit is the devil's, of the devil of greed. Okay? And the Bible says, he that loveth silver shall never be satisfied with silver. You know, all of us have things that we long and lust for. And sometimes these things are working in us, and they are driving us away from our own father's house. Sometimes the greed and desire for money drives us away from the temple and from the house that God gave to us. Number three, the spirit of evil independence. These are devils that speak to disciples. Amen. Devils that speak to disciples. Alright? Now, independence, the spirit of evil independence. God wants us to be independent and dependent. We are both dependent and independent. Neither one of them is a good or bad thing. They are both good and they are both bad. Independence is good and dependence is also good. But there is a kind of independence which you acquire in the wrong way at the wrong time, that is an evil thing. Do you understand? And that thing leads to your own destruction. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Yes. When you acquire it at the wrong... Now, you take a child who is not meant to be independent at the age of 16. When you are too old to be adopted by somebody and too young to get married, what do? You are in between and you are suddenly independent. You should have belonged to your family, but you wanted to come out, and you are too big to be adopted by a new family, and you are too small to get married. So you start to find out all kinds of other things which you shouldn't find out. Because you became independent too early. Are you listening to me? Let me tell you something. Many of our African countries became independent too early. And we are allowed to manage or mismanage our affairs. And that is exactly what we have done. We have freely managed or mismanaged our affairs. The choice to decide whether it's management or mismanagement is in your hands to know. Are you listening to me? So sometimes you are not ready to manage your own thoughts. You can't know who is to marry. You know, there's something that I want to be sharing about. It's called my first love. Yeah. And, you know, your first love is the love that you love with strength and zeal and with innocence. But when you know more things, the second love is with a lot of analysis and a lot of calculation. It's a message. You see, when you know certain things, you look at it and you realize that, wow. And many times, we when we are so young, our first love is the wrong love. Because you met this guy whose lips are black from smoking. And we can all see that this guy, I mean, he's a liar and he's coming to spoil your life. But you are dying over the guy. I mean, the way the guy is and the way he talks. So sometimes you can't trust your first love. But your father, to whom you are dependent on, can tell you that this guy is just taking you on a ride. He's looking for virgins to destroy. Are you listening to me? Yes. So when you are independent too quickly, it destroys you. So dependence and independence, they are neutral things. But depending on how you use it and how it comes and when it comes, it turns into a good thing or a bad. So it's good to be dependent. It's good to also be independent. But you must know when. If it's not time to cut the umbilical cord and we cut it, you're going to die because all your nutrients are coming from somewhere. And before your lungs are developed for you to breathe on your own, you need what is coming from the placenta. The placenta is giving you all your oxygen and your nutrients, your food and vitamins, fats, proteins, minerals, vitamins, everything that the mother eats is coming from the placenta straight to the umbilical cord into the stomach of the child. So you are getting direct special diet through the father's and the mother's meals. And now you have cut it. Meanwhile, you don't have lungs. Do you get what I'm saying? So when you come out, and then you are dead. Because you became independent too quickly. The spirit of evil independence. And many of my pastors are suffering that devil. You see, that's what I said, that Judas, Bible says, and the devil having put it in his heart. I see many of my pastors, the devil having put it in their heart to be independent from me. Not that I know everything, because I'm also a fool. I don't know anything. I don't dispute with you. But what I'm saying is that if there is a time that you are not supposed to be independent, and you become independent, you cannot live and you cannot do it. And that makes you waste everything that you would have had. Look, let me tell you something about a child. You know, it's a message. I said it's a message. Listen, the thing about a child is that you are trying to prevent the child from wasting the life because you can't repeat. Many of you clever people here, you can't go back. Now you are wise enough, but you can't go back. Your bones have ossified. Do you understand what I mean, ossified? It's a word. It's a medical word. Your bones are formed. You are too hardened and too grown up for certain things. Yeah. You get it? So the thing about being a child is that a time comes when you can't learn anymore. And by the time that during the time you should have been learning, you were playing hockey. You were throwing javelin. You were the heavyweight boxer of your school. You were the light featherweight boxer of your school. You were the wrestling champion. You were the table tennis champion of your house. You were the volleyball striker in your school. Why? So now time has passed and you cannot do anything anymore. A grown-up like you, you are saying you are now going to university. When they even see your beard, they will say, is it you or your child who is coming? So evil independence is a very dangerous thing. So sometimes when a child tries to go independent too quickly, they give the child steroids to help the child's lungs mature. Is it not true? Quickly. You know, and steroids are things that are given for almost every life-threatening condition. When a person is virtually dying, you know, like in asthma or in certain type of connective tissue diseases, cancers and other things, they'll give you the last thing you can give to try to bring all the systems to fight what is coming. I mean, you've just been born. You are not even supposed to be free. Suddenly, what is given to people who are dying at the age of 70-something, we have to apply to you that have just come into the world. Because of what? Evil independence. Some of you cannot be independent of the books that I've written now. Because you don't know. It's not time. It's not my books. Look, everything I write is just my teachings that God has given me. It's a small thing. But what you are saying is that your mother, it's when you press the breath of that small milk comes. So that small, so it's your life. Eh? It is not much, but it's your life, okay? And if you put it aside, you will not grow well. It's a message. I know that maybe my books are not, so whatever and so on, but that is the myth that God has given to you. I know maybe my CDs are not what you want them to be, but it is the small, the way you see the thing. It is what? A message for you. Hey! The next one is the spirit of foolishness. Now the spirit of foolishness is manifested through the response of the foolish disciple to being corrected. Alright? Bible says that he reproved not a scorner lest he hate thee. When you rebuke a fool, he gets angry. Fools get angry for being rebuked. And they make their faces. And they develop an attitude. And their eyes look down or look up or look to the side. And when you ask them what is it, they say, it is nothing. And when you ask them, well, are you annoyed because of what I said? Oh, no. I don't have any whatever. And Bible says, don't rebuke a scorner, he will hate you. And you see, when we come to church and you get a hot message, or you get a clear rebuke, you should just smile and say, yeah, the thing is hot and it is real. It's like when you eat pepper, you don't have to say, yeah, why, oh, look at the beef, your mouth, the kebab, you are insulting the kebab. Don't insult the kebab. Find water to cool down, but swallow it and know that you have eaten pepper today. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. So when you come and you hear that they are saying the thing is fire is hot, receive it. I said, receive it. Receive it. Yeah. Don't be angry and make your face. Your mouth has become like a rabbit because I told you the truth. Your nose has become like a pig because we have told you the truth. Your eyes are moving around like what do you call it? Huh? Somebody who has got a optical nerve palsy. Your eyes are just rotating round. Bible says, don't rebuke a scholar. He will be angry with you right now. People will come and say, what is wrong? You say, nothing. When you ask, why should you talk like that? Even if you want to talk, is there not a way to speak? How do you do speak like that? Every time we come, you're da-da-da-da-da-da, and you see that this and that, how the way you spoke and da-da-da, are we children? We were not born yesterday. But even though you are this and that, or is that how you have to speak? And da-da-da-da-da-da. That's how they talk. The song of a fool is to start to be angry. He will hate you, and the venom that comes out is a sign of foolishness. Yeah. So don't make your mouth and make your face. Just smile, and nobody will know that it is you that is in trouble today. It's a message. Okay. How many devils do you have in the disciples? Number 5, devils of selfishness. Selfish devil does not think about him, anybody, or what anybody thinks or feels. But selfishness is to think of yourself. Amen. Sometimes as pastors, there are things that we ought to do, not because of ourselves, but because of how it's going to affect the younger ones. Some of us are carrying the title pastor, shepherd, and you are such a bad example of a pastor. You are the worst example of a shepherd that anyone could ever see or have. And you are causing spiritual traffic jam in your church and spiritual stagnation by your presence and your attitude in the ministry. People cannot move forward when they see your example of someone who doesn't pray, someone who doesn't come to church, someone who has been appointed by mistake. You are affecting everybody. You don't think about the younger ones. You just think about yourself. What I am going to do. And that boy, the prodigal, he didn't think of what would a relative say. You come from such a nice family. Look at what you are doing. I mean, like when Princess Diana stepped out and was saying, what about the father? It's a royal family. What do they think? How is it going to be like? You are divorcing the king and this and that and all these things. Usually, church people don't care. I remember when she died, Bishop Duncan Williams was talking with him. He said, look, these kind of people that rise against ancient institutions. He said, you have to watch them carefully. Yeah, that's what he said many, many years ago. He said, these kind of people that rise up against institutions that have been there for hundreds of years, ancient establishments, and you just wake up as a single entity to start to strike. That's why somebody gave me an advice one day. He said, you don't fight with government. Yeah, he said, don't fight. If you are fighting, don't fight government. Even Bill Gates, when he fought the government of America, he lost. Hey. So some of us, sometimes we rise up to fight ancient things. You've just been born into the ministry. And you do things, you think, don't think just about yourself. Think about the others. Think about if you want to leave the church, don't wee wee on us. If you are making comments at the back, don't think of the others. Maybe you are finished benefiting in the ministry. There are others who are coming up. With your negative attitude, it spoils the flow for others who are around. I mean, there are some churches, the shepherds don't come here because the pastor doesn't come to church. The shepherds don't come and the members don't come. If it's Good Friday, it can be Good Sunday or Good Saturday or Good Monday. Oh, surely, they will never come. Because the kind of pastor that they have, he's thinking about himself. He's not thinking about the young ones in the church and the others who have to be nurtured and brought around. And how you were brought up and made a pastor one day, you are not thinking about that. The spirit of selfishness. People come into the church at the back. They ask them, please sit at the right place. I have asked the usher the head usher, let the people be seated in a particular way. And you see them arguing about old people, pastors. They walk out. Oh, then I'm just going. Then they walk out. They talk. They don't speak about anything, just about themselves. Such a devils in people. And you can't give examples and make people rebellious at the back there. You think we don't know about all these things. And we know the names of the people who are all these kind of people in the church. All kind of attitudes. You spread. I mean, even if you think you know everything already and you don't need to receive from us anymore, why don't you allow younger people who have a clean attitude, who have come with their first love, to come and benefit? So, the next one is the spirit of a wild goose chase. A goose is bigger than a duck, and it is smaller than a swan, and it's bigger than a chicken. You cannot easily catch it, and it looks clumsy and like it can be caught, but it cannot easily be caught when you are chasing a wild goose. And many people are chasing wild geese in the ministry, and it cannot be caught. After other anointings and other ideas, you see, a goose, the way it sits like this, you think you can catch it. And when you are going to do something, you say, oh, this one they have caught. Then before you realize that it is moving. That's how riches are. It looks like you can get it. You see the things like that. Oh, let me catch it. And then as you step forward, see that the thing has some power in it. Before you realize, the thing that you thought could not fly, it's now flying. That's why they shoot them with guns. That's how riches are. That's how success is. That's how anointing is. Sometimes it looks like you can just get it just here. It's not a small thing to catch. And many times people, instead of staying in the house, being humble in the house, you see them following things. If you are in this church and I'm having a service and Benny Hinn is just at Welcome, having a Bible study there. If I have not asked you to go there, you don't have any business going there when I'm here to preach to you. Yeah. I am your shepherd, my friend. I'm your shepherd. A shepherd leads his sheep where they are supposed to go. So if I say we are all going, then we all go.
You may be my shepherd, but it doesn't mean that you should control me.
Aha. Uh-huh. Look, either you are a sheep or a lizard. Choose. Choose whether you are a sheep or a lizard. Anybody who feels, they are trying to restrict me, you have a spirit of independence that sometimes you need to fly and see what is there, like this boy. And the Bible says he found out the devils that drove him away from his father's house. They made him into. The Bible says after he had wasted his substance on riotous living, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of the country. And the citizen of the country didn't adopt him, because when you are 16, you are too big. Old to be adopted, and you are too young to be married. So he sent him to the pigs. Hey! And I don't know, Steve, when you went to Jerusalem, did you ask for some pork? Did you ask? What did they say? You don't have it. Did you try asking for pork? Or you got some? When Jesus said, and they said he sent him to the pigs, most of us don't understand. It's like saying you sent him to the septic tank to work inside the swimming, to become a swimming lifeguard in the septic tank. That's what it was like. They detest. That's why when Jesus told the story of the demons came out, it was into pigs. The mention of pigs in the Bible is not in a good context. It's amazing that we have been eating them like that. And finally, the last devil is the devil of ungratefulness. Hey! That's the seventh. Ungrateful. Hey, don't remember everything. What was done for you, how it was done, where it was done, nothing. Try to remember. Try to remember. All those of you being Bible students, I remember one time Bishop Duncan Williams was telling me, he said, you know, he was trying to rebel against Archbishop Idahosa. And his wife said to him, listen, if this man has not done anything or doesn't have any sense, at least he fed you in your Bible school for 1 year. He fed you in that school for 1 year. Even if he couldn't do anything for you. He said, it's the message. If he couldn't do anything for you, at least he fed you in the school for 1 year. He said that thing calmed him down. And he cooled down. Because he wanted to rebel against the authority. So these are devils in the disciples. May you be free from all devils in disciples. In the name of Jesus Christ. Stand to your feet. You won't clap, eh? You won't clap. Powerful message. Powerful message. Let me tell you. I am very confident of my message. I know that my message is a good message. It's a very good message. If you have a spirit of foolishness and you have been squeezing your face when they reject you, just correct yourself. Don't stand there. If you are among those people who are at the back causing confusion Tuesday after Tuesday, just say, after me, I won't come to Tuesday service again. Selfish man. Selfish. You only think of yourself. That's why these days I don't fight with people. I apply Davidic principles. Anti-Joabic principles of David. Hey! I declare and decree your future for your harvest of your behavior. May you see it 100 times. Some of you ladies, how you behave. Your house help will face you in the house. You see that, yes, you have met your challenger. She will look at you in the house and say, hey, look at you. Look at you. You will see Hagar. You shall be despised. When you don't have a child, you will be despised. When you have a child, she will also despise you. Hey! Okay, lift your hands and pray if you can pray. Can you pray? Okay, pray. Mandala bashandala bakabalandala baba. Oh Jesus. Paralala mandala la baba. Pandelebe ramandala la babara. Ramandala barala mandala la barandala mananda. Father, thank you for your blessing, for your kindness, and your healing. We are praying for healing in the ministry and in the church. We thank you for your great blessing and your touch of power on all that we say and all that we do. We love you and we thank you, Heavenly Father. Mandoseke bandalama, we bind the devils of foolishness, the devils of wastefulness, the devils of ungratefulness, the devils of evil independence, the devils of wild goose chases, the devils of belly yahal, the devils of selfishness, and the devils of greed. Oh Jesus, may we be free in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Thank you, dear Lord, for your blessing in Jesus' name. Lift your hands and put your hand on your head. Father, I command all demons of ungratefulness for all the years we have pastored and preached and taught and loved and cared. Let the spirit of ungratefulness go away from us. Let the spirit of foolishness go out of us, Lord. Let the spirit of wasting all the opportunities and power and anointing that is in the house, let that spirit be bound in Jesus' name. Let the spirit of greed and selfishness be bound in Jesus' name. Let our minds be free of foolishness and hatred when we are rebuked and corrected. Father, give us a spirit of love. We lift our hands to you and we say, fill us, Lord. Let there be love shed amongst us. Let us be free from the power of darkness in Jesus' name. Let the whole church be free from devils, and let all the disciples of the house be free from demons and devils and lies and liars in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, close your eyes for a moment. If you are here tonight and you are not born again, you want to be born again, you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, and you want to say, Pastor, help me to know Jesus as my Savior, please pray with me. If you are here like that, please just lift just your right hand up where you are standing. Just lift it up high, and I want to pray with you. If you are here, Pastor, help me to know Jesus Christ as my Savior. Please, I want to know Jesus as my Savior. Pray for me and pray with me. Pastor, please. If you are here like that, just be at where you are, but lift up your right hand. I want to pray. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I see all your hands. Thank you very much. If you have lifted your hand, I want you to do one more thing. Just come to me from where you are standing. Just come to me from where you are standing. I want to pray with you. God bless you.
There is room at the cross for you.
This prayer with me. Everyone, lift your hands and let's all pray together for this. God bless you, brother. Say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, close your eyes and pray, Lord Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. Today, I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord. Oh God, please write my name in the book of life. From today, I receive Jesus as my Savior, as my Lord, and my Master. Father, have mercy on me, and please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Please come into my heart and make me a new person. Oh, Jesus, have mercy on me. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for your great blessing and your power. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by this powerful teaching by Bishop Doug Heward Mills. For further information on Bishop Heward Mills' books, tapes, CDs, and DVDs, please write to Mission Bookshop, P.O. Box KB114, Kolebu, Accra, Ghana, or call 021-249-871. That's 021-249-871. Email missionbookshop@doughewardmills.com. God richly bless you.
believe you've been blessed by the message. You can send your comments and feedback to info@ghanaword.com. Stay blessed and keep listening to ghanaword.com. Click, click, amen.